Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Kansas City Leaders. I am here with Sarah Hill. This is episode 3 of season 2 of the Kansas City Leaders podcast. And Sarah Hill is the CEO and founder of Helium, a biofeedback product made to calm your mind. She's one of the technology leaders in the city here in Kansas City. And as I understand, you're a 12-time Emmy awarding journalist, and you used to work in journalism, in broadcast journalism. Is that correct?
I did Mid-America Emmys, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mid-America Emmys, but still, yeah.
We're gonna qualify this.
Yeah, there are a dozen golden ladies, but my background is in media and storytelling, and I'm a story nerd, a technologist, and have created a media channel that's powered by your body's electricity.
Okay, so before we get into that real quick, I just want to talk just for a second. How did you end up in Kansas City?
So my family grew up in Missouri, right? Up in Northeast Missouri, and went to the University of Missouri to the journalism school. It was 1993, had a couple kids. Your family is close, and there is a great belt of a high level of digital literacy and almost like a media belt across the Silicon Prairie that we call the Kansas City area. And so decided to stay. It's a great place not only to raise a family, it is a great place to also create a company, right? There's a low cost of goods, high talent pool as it relates to media. We hire a lot out of the universities, and it's a great place to launch new technology. And it's becoming more and more popular, almost like a best kept secret on how your investment dollars can also go further in the Kansas City area than they can in other places around the world.
It's been very exciting lately to see Kansas City's kind of reached some of the places to watch as far as technology. For example, Cities on the Move, it was number 19 over tech sectors in the country, you know. Number 1, 2, and 3 are kind of, you know, Silicon Valley, Seattle, Austin, where you'd expect them to be. But the one thing that was really funny is that Kansas City was number 19th in the ranking, but from velocity and momentum, it was number 4. And it just showed that we're on kind of that upward trajectory. And of all the tech places in the country right now, we're the only one that had that big gap, like in momentum versus current ranking. So it'll be interesting to see where that comes out the next year or two. So give me a little background on your journey from journalist to CEO of a technology company. Like, how did you make that transition? Like, what does that look like?
So it wasn't a linear path in any way. It had many twists and turns, but started as a journalist, a feature journalist covering a lot of trauma. I was a radio broadcaster first, then a television news broadcaster. And, you know, every day we would cover rapes, murders, homicides. We did some feature stories going in the aftermath of the tsunami in Sri Lanka and Indonesia, and the aftermath of hurricanes, Hurricanes Rita. And ultimately developed this media channel for myself, as well as the people that we covered who want to feel better and sleep better in a completely just drugless way. And just as, you know, media has the ability to harm, media also has the ability to heal. And so, you know, we're just flipping that on its head and using, you know, specific media images and also combining it with your body's electricity to personify what has historically been unseen inside your body. So you can learn to self-regulate your anxiety and your sleep.
Not to talk about another piece of technology, but I was an early adopter, in the virtual reality space, et cetera. And in the pandemic, for the company Catapult that I work with, we provided these VR headsets. And the application I'm thinking about was called, I think it was called Trip or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was literally something supposed to help you. It was a whole bunch of imagery stuff. You'd watch it in your headset, but it would help you. It had some things for you to focus on your breathing and stuff like that and help kind of calm you down. I mean, it sounds like you've taken this kind of a step further than that. You actually have, now, if I understand correctly, so I've been to your website, I've consumed kind of your public facing information. So there is a biofeedback monitor that you actually wear in conjunction with you using an application on your phone or using a headset. Is that correct?
We're hardware agnostic, so we work with any wearable that's out there. Anything that captures data, our technology can turn it into visual assets. And so unlike a Headspace or a Calm or a Trip or a any other mindfulness experience, it's uniquely connected to your brain patterns and to your heart rate. And it's effective. So, you know, effective computing in a way, the media is reactive to you. So no longer are we, you know, passively consuming these media experiences. We're actively participating in it and almost in a way, you know, seeing your own internal story come to life with those brain patterns and heart rate. And, you know, there are a variety of interventions out there to calm your mind, along with just close your eyes, right? Which is, you know, can be one of the easiest and best ones for yourself. And we're a big believer that you need all of them. You need all of those interventions that I just mentioned, because they do different things. And, you know, just as, you know, when you're trying to ease a headache, you know, you just don't just want a Tylenol or a Motrin. You need, you know, the full force of everything that's out there. And right now, this is a mental health emergency. It's the stress Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And none of us have trained for it. Few people. I didn't. I'm 53 years old, and no one ever taught me that I had the ability to self-regulate my brain patterns, and that what I think about or how I breathe actually impacts my brain patterns, my heart rate, my skin conductance, and my blood pressure, because I had never seen my feelings. And so, you know, in this mental health emergency, you know, we need to have every single tool in our arsenal, along with psychotropic medication or professional counseling, which is one of the best things that we can do for ourselves. And helium isn't a replacement for those. It's a wellness tool that allows you to become more self-aware that your thoughts do have power to control things, not only in the virtual world inside some of these experiences or just on your mobile device, but in the real world as well.
All right. So break this down for me. How does the actual technology work? So I saw that there's a sensor that you kind of wear on your scalp or on your head. Is that correct? It's just, this looks like a head. I don't want to call it a headlamp. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's some kind of thing you
wear.
It's
an EEG headband.
Okay.
And we're hardware agnostic. So eventually we'll work with all kinds of EEG headbands and smartwatches. But this particular EEG headband, it's worn on the forehead, and we don't make the hardware. We make the software and the media. So on the forehead, it captures the electricity, your brain patterns that's coming from the forehead. It's not putting anything into your head. Mm-hmm. This is meditation, a flavor of meditation with biofeedback or neurofeedback, which some in your audience might be familiar with. And so it's capturing those brain patterns. And it is turning them into media assets. So in augmented reality, a solar system that you can lighten or darken by calming your mind. Flowers, butterflies, inside virtual reality. It can change an aura around you. It will glow green if you're not stressed, like a traffic light. And it will glow gold if you are. So it's, again, the media is reactive to you, and you're able to see how you're breathing. You're able to see your heart rate. And, you know, that's just it. In any other traditional exercise, can you imagine, you know, doing bicep curls and never being able to see your bicep, or leg lifts, right? But yet we're flying really blind when it comes to mental fitness. How are we supposed to know, you know, necessarily what's, you know, going on in your mind? And there are some people who really have honed that skill well. They have a mind's eye, and they know when their mind is calm. And that can take years and years of practice. For me, I was one of those individuals who struggled with traditional meditation. And so I needed some kind of, you know, guardrails of sorts to make me more self-aware of, you know, what I'm thinking about now, how I'm breathing now. That has a direct impact on my physiology, so that when I go into a stressful situation, I have a stored memory that I've created from being inside those immersive environments that I can then go back to. You are correct. We're unique in that it's connected via fitness trackers that you might already have in your home, an Apple Watch, a Samsung Galaxy Watch. Though we're using those as inputs.
So you can actually already, without someone getting like this EEG headband or something like that, they could already use some of their own technology they already have. They just have to get the application. Is that correct?
They have to get the application. And if they already have the watches or the headbands, yeah. Okay. You just, via Bluetooth, you just import it and then you're able to connect to Helium's app. We also have an API and an SDK that your other app developers, media experiences can also use as well if they want to, have an application that's powered by Helium, powered by your body's electricity.
That's really cool because I have used some of these kind of mind calming apps, and usually it's, they're kind of rudimentary, and I'm not knocking any of the apps I've used, but they don't really have a way to see in real time actually how you're processing the data. It's really like align your heart rate with this, right? Well, what if I, it's different if my heart rate beats at 55 beats a second versus 80, there's a difference in what that would look like. Yes, breathing slower there may be some commonalities there, but there is no way to watch it in real time. I am not a good meditative person, if that's the right term for it. My brain doesn't shut down. If it's a blank wall and I'm staring at it, I'll be looking at it for about 5 minutes and be like, did I leave the stove on? And I'm not good at that. I'm just going to admit that. So it sounds like it'd be very useful for me. So you've actually built the software applications that integrate with a whole bunch of different platforms. It's available for the Vision Pro, the new Apple Vision Pro. You can get it there. You can get it in the Meta, The Meta Store now? The Oculus Quest Store? I'm not sure what they call it these days.
Compatible with Apple Vision Pro, iOS, Android. You don't have to have goggles. In the flat world, you can just use it on your mobile device. You can also use it with Oculus Quest 2, Oculus Quest 1, although they've sunsetted Oculus Quest 1, Meta Pro, Quest 3, and also all the line of Pico devices. So Pico G2 4K, Pico G3, Pico G4. We're hardware agnostic. So bring whatever hardware you have, bring whatever fitness tracker you have, and we're adding additional compatible wearables to the platform, and download the Helium app or use it with another app that has Helium's integration.
I want to divert the conversation a little bit because we talked about how it's a non-linear path for you to be a not just a leader in Kansas City, but a female leader in technology in particular. We need more. Just like anybody would say, we need more women represented in technology because they make up over half the population, and yet they're underrepresented, especially in the tech sector space. So what was the burning desire for you to jump off that cliff and flap your arms on the side to start a whole, this is a major career shift for you. What was the place and what was the moment in time that kind of crystallized that for you? When did you say, I need to do this?
So as a journalist, I covered the veterans beat. That was part of my beat. And I went on dozens of these honor flights. If you've heard of honor flights, they are real physical flights. It's a charity that flies veterans to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. Went on one, and wow, I was deeply moved. My grandpa was a World War II vet. He never had the opportunity to see his memorial. I thought, oh, wow, he would love this. So to make a long story short, we put out a call on the news one night. Hey, we think it would be cool to have a hub in our area because at the time there wasn't. And to make a long story short, ended up, getting these honor flight programs started with some phenomenal leaders who stepped forward to lead that charge. And after several years, that first year we went on, 7, 8 on honor flights and captured them all in video. But what we found is a lot of these aging and terminally ill World War II veterans, they were on too much oxygen. Their doctor told them that they couldn't go on the flight because their bodies were too frail and they might die if they went on the flights. So, technologist, journalist, naturally curious person started thinking, what do we have in our skill set that can allow them to feel like they're there, even though they're not? Like, can we virtually, wouldn't it be great if we could virtually transport them there? We can, right? With technology. So about that time, Google Glass was coming on the scene, Google Cardboard. And so we were live streaming from our face, but that doesn't scale because you have to have someone live, real person to do that all the time. And Google then shut down the Glass program. And so we had to find a new way in order to capture these experiences. So got some money together and stereoscopic 360 cameras set up in an array. At the time, there were like 24 of them in an array. And we went around to all of the memorials and captured them in stereoscopic 360 video. I brought them back to the veterans' bedside, and we had virtual tours of the Vietnam, World War II, Korea, and women's memorials. And the reaction of seeing those veterans' faces when they watched the experience and then they took off the goggles, you know, obviously they were very emotional. They weren't watching it through the filter of just a rectangle. They were there.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the way their physiology, after they take off the goggles, they would have these, you know, deep cleansing breaths, and they would say, "I like how I felt. Can I watch that again?" And so, journalist, naturally curious person, it led us on a path of, what is this media doing to them? What's happening inside them? And can we create this media in a way that could actually be therapeutic for the person and be helpful for them beyond just virtual travel? Teamed up with my co-founder, Dr. Jeff Tarrant, neurofeedback, biofeedback, counseling psychologist, and he started doing brain maps on the content that we were creating to see how was it impacting physiology. And it impacts physiology in a very unique way. And, you know, we've always known this, right, for decades, that different kind of media, whether it be violent or sexual or, you know, any kind of media, can make you feel a certain way. And so, you know, we are just flipping that on the head to make it healing and creating it in a way that it can make you more self-aware. And when he gave me that very first photo, it was of a firefighter's brain with a full, you know, EEG cap with glue and electrodes immediately before the experience. And just 4 minutes after, you saw all the red activity, all the fast activity, you know, instantly reduced. And that's a powerful tool because there are some individuals, I was one of them, who, you know, struggled with quieting my mind, and I needed some help, as does the, you know, millions of people out there who are looking for easier ways to learn to self-regulate. And after seeing that image, we knew that, you know, these aren't just experiences. This could be so much more than just virtual travel. So Honor Everywhere is our company's social purpose. All of those experiences are now free today. We've open sourced them. They're available from a variety of VR companies. More than a dozen different VR companies around the world have agreed to share it with their places because, you know, we're losing these veterans at a rate of thousands a day nationwide. And these 80 and 90-year-olds are too frail to get on flights to see their memorials. And sadly, we as a company waited too long to get them there. So that Honor Everywhere program was the catalyst to Helium, the precursor to Helium, and is also now our company's social purpose, that you can get it on any of the goggles. Again, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, and women's memorials.
And you said that's Honor Everywhere?
Honor Everywhere. And you can get more information or actually ask your local Honor Flight hub, and they can tell you more about it. Obviously, it's not a replacement for a real Honor Flight.
Sure.
There's nothing that compares to that. But for the people who have, you know, terminal conditions and their doctors have told them that they can't travel, it is one way that at least they can say they have seen it before they pass.
So that is an amazing program. We'll link to that. Any of the listeners, or if you're watching this on YouTube, we're going to link to that in the show notes, either beneath the video or beneath, you know, Apple, Google, Spotify podcast. We'll put that in the show notes so you can see that. So that's very cool. So how do you bridge from there to helium? It just seems like it's an evolutionary step, right? It's really kind of funny how you went from, oh, this makes sense, I'll get involved with this, and what's the next step? Yeah. So let's talk about that.
Isn't it interesting that we as people think that things need to be linear, that there needs to be some logical explanation, but really it was seeing, you know, those veterans' expressions and talking with them about what they experienced. And also too, you know, as a former television journalist, I struggled with sleep and insomnia, and, you know, my own mental wellness. And so always had a heart with what are some of the alternative ways that we can allow people to learn to self-regulate and also learn to downshift. So this is media. This is storytelling, which is all in my background. It's just instead of, you know, informative media, it's media that heals.
So when did you get people together to start Helium?
It was 2016.
Okay.
So in the very early days of, you know, Google Cardboard.
Yeah, no, it's really weird because you mentioned Google Glass and I was like, I think they canceled that like in 2012 or 2013. It's like over a decade ago.
Yeah.
So you were.
It was before that. Yeah. We were doing a volunteer.
Yeah,
endeavor. And Honorflight, it wasn't my paid gig. It was a volunteer effort.
But the crazy part about this is that 2015, 2016, when you started this, I mean, that is the beginning of VR stuff. I mean, really, like you start, that's Oculus is just coming out. You've got the HTC Vive, you got the Sony. I mean, all those pieces are, this is, at that point, that is bleeding edge technology. It is not even, it's like at the pre-early adopter phase almost.
Yeah, and you can imagine, you can imagine in our area, you're leaving television to do what?
Totally, right?
You're like now creating stuff for a cardboard box. Oh, I'm really sorry. You know, and you try to tell them like, well, actually, it's going to be a thing. And, you know, sure enough, it is. We're in enterprises around the world, areas of, you know, from the VA to Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic actually invested in our round. Major airlines, NFL, Major League Baseball teams. These are ways to instantly, you know, escape your current reality and downshift.
Yeah. And it's funny, everybody, I've always heard people say, you know, oh, you want to go outside, put your feet in the grass. And I was like, my great grandmother had a dirt front yard. There was no grass, right? In middle Georgia, where I'm from, or South Georgia. But it's just really funny when people talk about that. You can't always escape your environment. If you live in a concrete jungle, if you're in a downtown urban environment, there may not be a green space for you. Mm-hmm. And if you really need to step outside yourself and go somewhere else, I think these other applications are, I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah. It's really, you know, that is so true. And it's so telling, especially when you get out of the United States. So one of the areas that Helium is used for is with humanitarian missions. So, you know, aftermath of tornado, it's being used with victims of gender-based violence in Iraq. And what these therapists tell us is that there are some individuals, not only do they not have access to nature, but they have, if you were to say, imagine a beach or imagine a safe place, they don't have a way to even hearken that amongst them to think about what a safe place is. So they're using Helium to create those stored memories of, well, here's something beautiful that's nature-based. And our experiences are either, you know, shot with, you know, live stereoscopic 360 video or built in a game engine. Either way, they're beautiful and nature-based. But it provides them the ability to see an example of something that is a safe space. And then they can remember that aurora borealis. They can remember the waterfall, the beach, the Swiss countryside, whenever they get in a stressful situation.
So how, I want to, I mean, this is an amazing product and I can't wait to try it out myself.
Thank you.
It's just really cool. And it's not just that, you're in Kansas City, you know, and that's kind of the thrust of the podcast a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about that. How did you, you're leaving a successful career in journalism to start something different and you're putting it in a cardboard box. I mean, literally people are still, you know, with the Vision Pro. I mean, it's still early days for the technology and the metaverse and whatever you want to call it, spatial computing, is coming. And it's going to undoubtedly change our world. And this is an example of a technology where it could change things for a lot better. I was thinking about, and I want to hop to the KC questions in a minute, but there's an epidemic of anxiety with young people today, mm-hmm. based on social media. I read some studies from last week that came out that were really, really, it's just, I've got a 13-year-old niece, and I was just thinking about like how these kids, they have a higher kind of anxiety quotient than ever before. And part of it's because of social media, we're always on. I mean, people literally think that, and look, I'm not trying to be the old guy in the room, but you know, they think it's normal to be putting your makeup on in the morning on a TikTok channel. And just what, because we're going to become the next influencer. It seems like always being on seems like a very unhealthy thing. And I understand that's where the generation is going to right now. And it's not the old guy in the room, but the science is bearing that out right now. Mm-hmm. It's increasing anxiety. You know that being on camera as a journalist yourself is a very artificial thing. Like people think, they think that when you have makeup on, you got the pancake on and everything else, they think that that's real life, and it's not. Mm-hmm. They think that, you know, any of these reality shows, they don't realize that 75 cuts put together in a 10-minute segment, right? And it looks like it's this perfect, amazing thing. And it's not. And so I was thinking about your technology in particular could be incredibly vital. And I don't know, have y'all looked at kind of this teenage generation, or are y'all seeing any adoption of that?
Yes. And obviously those are the primary people who have goggles, right? Are youth, yeah. Young adults ages 13 and above. But there's, you know, something very interesting about that. And I see it both ways. Like, we need social media.
Sure.
We need to be connected as a community, to know who to vote for, to know who to vote against, mm-hmm. to know that we're safe from a tornado, to be alert of emergencies. Yeah. For business to be able to connect with your customers and network, like there's so many, you know, great, amazing things about social.
Absolutely.
However, we need to be more cognizant of our media diet. And, you know, just as there are things that can make you sick if you eat too much of it, it's the same thing with social media. And, you know, yes, there is negative fiber in social media. Like any other media consumption, we are what we watch with our eyes. The brain believes what it sees, what it's consuming, you know, your physiology is changing. And so, you know, that's where helium comes in that it is positive fiber that can allow you to learn to self-regulate, to, you know, escape your current reality. But just as it has the potential to harm, it can also heal. And so not all of social media is bad. Has it changed how we operate? Yes. But, you know, as a parent, and my kids are grown, right? I'm going to be a grandma in 3 weeks. But, you know, we need to be having these conversations about our media diet. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, the old people in the room, but when it impacts your physiology and when people are actually taking their own lives, it becomes a very important conversation, just as important as what you're putting in your mouth.
Yeah.
What are you consuming with your eyes?
You know, it is. I think therefore I am. A lot of it's not just that. It's the idea is that how you interpret the world around you, how you experience the world around you. I mean, literally changing the music you're listening to changes your mood. Getting out there and exercising has all much thing from dopamine receptors and endorphins, et cetera, all these things. And how you're right, how you consume media around you does impact your world. Mm-hmm. I've known people who go on an anti-news diet like 8 weeks before election cycles.
Right.
Because everything becomes so negative.
Election anxiety. It was a real thing. Right?
Yeah. And so the question is, like, it is always like, it's like, man, there's better ways to do this. So, but how did you convince people in Kansas City, like, this is an idea. Let's get some investors together. How did you do that? Did you go outside the market? Did you find people here who are interested? How did you do it?
We got great partners in here in the Kansas City area. It actually started with our IP attorney. There was an IP attorney that, you know, we were originally getting our technology, you know, we went to one and they said, you can never patent that. And, you know, went to Hush Blackwell and they were like, well, yeah, you can. And turns out, you know, that's a very important part of our channel, not just the content, but that core technology that's powering it. And also the Casey Rice Fund. They believed in us from the very beginning. And basically opened up their network into sales channel partners, introductions. And so, you know, that was a very crucial key partner for us in those early days and continues today.
So I just want to talk about the Kansas City community a little bit. So and how you so it's funny that your IP attorney is originally who introduced you to some of these things. How do you stay kind of informed and connected, engaged with the kind of the Kansas City community as large? Like, is it through people you know in the town? I mean, is there something you do in particular?
I consume media from the Kansas City area, right? Startland News is is a great media channel that is covering entrepreneurship. Obviously, I'm very fascinated with what other entrepreneurs are doing. Are there opportunities for collaboration and also growing that ecosystem in the Kansas City area? Networking opportunities, Pipeline Entrepreneurs is another Kansas City area-based organization that's pooling together entrepreneurs from a variety of states right here in the Silicon Prairie region, if you will, where you can go and talk with other entrepreneurs and not annoy the heck out of them in talking about your business. Whereas sometimes, talking with your family nonstop about, your cost to acquire or, they can zone out. But this is a really phenomenal place to build a business, and not just because you can do it cheaper, better, faster here, that there's, a lower cost of goods, but there are bright minds in this area, in media, in technology, in digital health and wellness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm really excited for that secret to get out in the rest of the world. Where they're struggling with, building companies on the coasts and paying 10 grand for, a very small office space. And, we here in the Kansas City area are also, we're deeply connected to each other. When you go into a gas station, would not be uncommon for that gas station attendant to say, "Hey, how's your day going?"
Yeah.
And they generally want to know. They want, if you don't answer, they're like, "No, really?
Yeah.
Like, how you doing?
How you doing?"
Like, they care about you. So, you combine that heartland spirit with a place where investment dollars can go further. And, you really are, we're just scratching the surface on the potential here as a launch pad for entrepreneurs.
Are there any local leaders or influencers who inspire you?
Yes. Darcy Howe. Darcy has led many entrepreneur efforts in our area. And, she's really at the center of a lot of entrepreneurship ecosystem. And some of, for instance, some of the greatest introductions that I got were at Darcy's kitchen table, right?
Wow.
And it's these conversations that are happening not just in Darcy's kitchen table, but in a variety of ones throughout the area. And so I really think that's great that there's a difference between people who have influence and then people who are willing to share their influence. And that's what you'll find a lot in our area. Is people who recognize that they have access to someone who can help your story, help your business, help your cause. And, they see the vision in what you're building, and therefore they have the ability to open doors for you.
That's really, really exciting. And you're right, there's a difference between having influence and sharing it. It's like it's one thing when you want to hide it and it's just yours. And it's one thing you're like, "No, I'd love to introduce you to people."
Yes. Some of the most influential people I know aren't necessarily the people who've shared their influence with me.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you see the future of Kansas City, and what role do you hope to play in that future?
I see the future of Kansas City in a big way as it relates to digital health, right? There's a lot of talent pool here coming out of Cerner and other endeavors that is ripe to be building things. Combine that with the fact that you can be bit anywhere in the aftermath of the pandemic to build a business. Here in Kansas City, you have the resources, you have the tools, you know, low cost of goods and people who are willing to share their influence.
I always have to ask this question, and it sounds a little silly, but best barbecue in Kansas City. Where is it? What is it?
Jack's.
Jack's?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me, what in particular there and why?
I just like their pulled pork. Yeah. Always have.
Okay.
And also they have like broccolatini. That's
really, I haven't had that.
Yeah, it's really, really good as well. So you should definitely try it.
I will definitely try that. If someone wants to get involved or connect with you, where is the best place to find you and to talk about Helium? Or if they want to try it out, where do they go try it out?
So you can go to our website. That's at tryhelium.com. And Helium is spelled like healing is the root word, H-E-A-L-I-U-M. So tryhelium.com. On our social networks, we're at HeliumXR. You can search us on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Insta, and LinkedIn. And I'm on there as well. Twitter, I guess, is my primary platform. I'm Sarah with an H, Sarah Midmo. Also in Facebook, Insta, and LinkedIn, and a wee little bit on TikTok as well. But we love to connect with the community. Specifically, you know, we're looking for those areas of stress and trauma, whether it be a therapist, whether it be a burned out nurse. It costs $1 million to replace a burned out physician.
Yeah.
These are drugless, non-harmful coping mechanisms that can quickly downshift your nervous system and improve your mood.
Well, Sarah Hill, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was a delight. I'm excited about your technology. And just as importantly, I'm excited to see how it will continue to help kind of propel Kansas City forward and kind of putting, we're not flyover country, we're the part of the country you should be flying to right now. And I think it's amazing what's going on in this community and people like you helping lead the way. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Couldn't agree more. Right back at you. Best of luck to you. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the KC Leaders Podcast. Please remember to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen. For more information about this podcast, you can visit kcleaderspodcast.com. And don't forget to check out our other great podcasts like The Buck Stops Here, streaming now on all major platforms and at thebuckstopsherepodcast.com.